Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before started from the very beginning. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we're going to talk about season 17, episodes 6, 7, and 8 of Survivor Gabon. Before that, though, it's been a couple weeks since Patrick and I recorded, so I have a few things. Before the episode, at the top of the episode, one, we had some listener mail.
Ooh.
Brian wrote to us with a reading suggestion. He said, "This past week, y'all asked about what we were currently reading, and this is a good time to point out the series Stranded, co-authored by Jeff Probst." He says, "I own the full six-book collection, but haven't read it yet. If you guys read it, it would give me a reason to finally read the series as well."
I think that you mentioned reading the first book of that. Maybe you mentioned it to me off pod.
I did mention it to you off pod. So I listened to the first book as an audiobook. And yeah, I found it kind of boring. It is definitely like for like young adult, not for like adults. It's more young adult for kids. So maybe kids would be more into it. It was super quick. Like the audiobook was like, I don't know, 2 hours or something. Like it was very quick. But if listeners are interested in more Survivor sort of stuff, there's six books. They came out in 2013, 14, and 15 and 16, I guess. But the first book is called Stranded. The series is Stranded. So they're Stranded, Stranded 2, Trial by Fire, Stranded 3, Survivors. And then it switches to Stranded, Shadow Island, Forbidden Passage, Shadow Island, The Sabotage, and Shadow Island, Desperate Measures, which I guess is like the Shadow Island is like a trilogy, and then the first Stranded set is a trilogy.
Okay. I'm intrigued by that. I feel like I'm willing to give it a try.
Well, there you go. Try it out. Report back. Maybe we can let Brian know what we think, or you can.
Yeah, fair warning, Brian. We are about to record like a couple podcasts right in a row, so I'll get on that, but it'll be a little bit as far as you listening to this goes.
It was not, there's like no wait to just snag the audiobook from Libby. So if you want to do that for free, piece of cake.
Okay.
Second thing,
Is it read by Jeff Probst?
no, that would have been so good, but no, at least the first one isn't. Second one, apparently there is a Survivor Castaway Island video game supposedly coming October 2023. It looks like it's not gonna be great, but it also kind of it looks like almost in the style of like a Wii sports game sort of thing. So it could be fun.
What systems?
According to this article, it'll be available October 3rd on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox, and PC. So everything.
Okay. I'm willing to try some Survivor Castaway Island. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, Survivor Castaway Island. Unleash your inner survivor and embark for the ultimate adventure. Pick from among 12 fearless adventurers and join a tribe. Survive in the untamed wilderness, test your skills and exciting challenges, and play the social game of alliance and strategy. In this new adventure game, experience the excitement of Survivor as if you were part of the show. Not sure how the AI social game is going to be, but we'll see. I'll play it.
Yeah, I feel like I could get dangerously into this.
Yeah, so keep your eyes peeled for that one. And then the last thing I think that I have of pre-episode stuff is they announced some new cast for Big Brother 25, which I've never seen Big Brother.
I've seen like a
But
couple episodes of one season of Big Brother.
well,
I saw some things about this season is going to be Buck Wild.
for season 25, it's going to have Cerie's son Jared as one of the people,
Oh, that's fun.
and Zach Wurtenberger's brother Corey.
I saw that one of them had the last name Wurtenberger, and I was like, they've got to be related to Zach, right? Like,
Yeah.
that can't be a coincidence.
So that's fun.
I wonder if they'll like start an alliance right away.
Just because of Survivor fraternityhood.
Yeah, and like maybe they like have met or heard of each other at some point. I wouldn't be surprised if Zach and Suri have met at some point.
Yeah.
I think that I would like Big Brother because it is just like a, it is very similar to Survivor, but like sillier in a lot of ways and without the survival aspect. But it just seems like such a commitment because it's like 3 episodes a week, which I guess is what I'm currently watching in Survivor, so maybe it's not that much more of a commitment. But I'm realizing right now that I'm about to have a baby, and like seems like prime time to watch Big Brother when I'm just gonna be like hanging out at home feeding a baby.
Yeah, I have no idea how Big Brother works. Like, they all live in the same house?
Oh, you have no idea how Big Brother works.
I think they all live in the same house, right?
Yes, they all live in the same house with no contact to the outside world at all.
Right. But then they like vote people out of the house like Survivor.
Yeah, so every week there's a head of household competition where they do like a like an individual immunity challenge essentially to someone gets head of household, but then they nominate 2 people to be up for elimination. And then they do a challenge for the power of veto, and whoever wins that gets to veto one of those people and put their own person in instead. And then the whole house votes on which of those 2 people gets eliminated.
And then is there like a sort of jury aspect to it for
Yes.
end game? Are the challenges, so the challenges are all within the house?
Yes. And there's like a house and there's like a big yard and there's like different sections to the house that all have their
Okay.
own components and stuff. And there's like sometimes there will be reward challenges where it's like, oh, it, you know, if your team wins, you get all of like the premium food for the week. And if you lose, you have to eat gruel all week. Sorry.
So there's team, are there's teams?
Well, it would be like they like draw rocks or whatever for teams
Oh,
to
okay.
qualify.
Interesting. I don't think I'm gonna get into it, but I've always heard about it, never really knew. I was just like, I guess it's like Survivor in a house, but I don't know exactly how that works.
A lot of times the challenges are less Survivor-esque and more like
The circle?
Nickelodeon Double Dare-esque,
Oh, okay. That's
which
fun.
does make it fun. Like it is pretty ridiculous a lot of the time.
Okay. We should get into this season, season 17.
Yeah, we should.
As a general heads up, because we will likely slip up and make mistakes. If you're trying to watch along, we've finished the season already at this point. So this episode, we're going to talk about episodes 6, 7, and 8. And then we'll have another episode for 9, 10, 11, and another one for 12, 13, 14. But we've already seen all of this, and so it's possible we'll accidentally let slip like somebody that gets eliminated or winner or something like that. We'll try not to, but I don't know how hard we'll try, but just heads up. So we're starting with it all depends on the pinup girl. Yeah. So we, I don't know, or yeah, I think it starts with Coda because it's right after the last vote. I have that Dan is feeling left out, and tells Corinne and Marcus that he's not like part of a group. He's emotion that he is emotional and he feels bad. He's being left out. And they're
This
like,
was
yeah, totally.
a wild conversation because I can see the component of like, I just like feel really awkward and I need you guys to reassure me. But they are like, that was so awkward and what the fuck of this guy, right?
Yeah, it was definitely the sort of thing of like somebody who is like out of game, just like working on being emotional and like talking about his emotions, but he is in very early stages of that. And so it's just like that leads to the awkwardness.
Yeah. I appreciate it. So this is actively doing the thing you said we weren't gonna do. But in the reunion at the very end of the season, Jeff brings not necessarily this conversation up, but like this type of thing up a little bit, which I've appreciated because watching this conversation and then seeing Corinne and Marcus have confessionals talking about Dan afterwards, I was like, that would be so fucking hard to watch. Like as Dan being like, I feel really self-conscious, but I'm gonna choose to trust them that like they want to be friends, and then seeing them be like, that this guy's fucking weird would be really difficult to watch. And Jeff calls that out on the reunion and is like, how'd that make you feel? Like that must have been hard, right? And he's like, yeah, that was hard.
Well, especially because at this point, it turns out by the end of the season, we learn Corinne sucks. she's been real mean this whole season, and they didn't really show that part for like the first half of the season.
I feel like she started the season by being like, I'm unapologetically a villain and fuck everybody.
She said that, but then we talked in one of our previous recordings about how like we're not seeing that from Corinne at all.
Oh, that's true. At this point, we start seeing it more.
Yeah. On the Fong tribe, Maddie's hungry. The tribe is running low on rice rations. This has been like, I feel like this is the first season in a while where like
we care about food.
Yeah, like the rice rations has been a big thing. And then Crystal trips on the rice and spills a bunch onto the ground. And she does her best to like clean it up. And then when they make it the next morning, she refuses to eat. She's like, no, I'm not going to eat because I spilled some. But it was clear people were, I don't know, they were like not happy with that. They thought she was like guilting them, kind of. It was weird.
And then, which this is again, this is later in the episode, but he is like, well, if you really were like, no, I should eat, then maybe you should have not eaten. You should have left me some, even though I was refusing it. And I was like, they offered it to you multiple times and you refused it multiple times. That is not on them anymore to be like, no, I'm going to save you some anyway.
Yeah, there's a nice parallel there with how kind of that description of like it being offered and not taken and then like being upset that it was gone or whatever with the cookie that comes with the auction in an upcoming episode.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that one a lot.
Talk about that cookie.
We go to the reward challenge where they have to toss this breakable ball back and forth between like a trio while somebody from the other tribe is trying to swat it to knock it to the ground and break it. This is kind of a simple, fun challenge, I guess. The reward is a helicopter trip for the afternoon and a picnic. I noted that Sugar didn't seem to be like trying super hard in this. She was like, it's like Monkey in the Middle. And so she's playing keep away from, or three guys are playing keep away from her. And she's not trying super hard. And so the other person and the other team ends up getting the point. But there's just some like mismatched matchups here a little bit. But Coda gets this win 3-0 fairly quickly and sends Sugar to Exile Island for the fifth time.
Which sets a Survivor record, fun fact.
Mm-hmm. We go to Coda, see their reward trip, amazing view over a canyon. I really liked the canyon here in Gabon because I've seen canyons like in the United States, like the Grand Canyon and other similar things, but they're all dry. And this one is like a canyon was made, but then vegetation came back. And so like at the bottom of the canyon, there's like a whole forest and stuff, which was super cool.
Yeah. Gabon is beautiful. I might call it even Earth's last Eden.
Yeah, we talked about this also. It's not that like people don't call it Earth's last Eden, but they do refer to it as Eden. It comes up in a later episode, and I did a quick Google search of like Eden, Gabon, and it hit tons of results. So it's not normally called like Earth's last Eden, but it is referred to as like Eden.
Okay, that's fair. Earth's last Eden is still weird, but that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would imagine they sat around like some writer's room for a while, like, okay, we want to get Eden in there, but just Gabon Eden feels too short. What do we do? And I don't know, somebody came up with Earth's Last Eden. They get letters from home as well, which is a cool addition to the reward. It's interesting when they throw those in. So, like, I feel like that's been happening more and more where they just like tack those on, because I feel like in earlier seasons, that was like such a huge draw, like that would be the whole reward.
Yeah, when this was like a surprise to them, I was like, there's gonna be some more family stuff coming in later. Like,
yeah,
there's no, this, it made this such a minor thing.
On Fong, Maddie feels really bad after the challenge, says he's humiliated, they didn't do very well, he's mad that Sugar didn't try very hard, and he tells Ace that they should vote Sugar out. But that he thinks he can rope in some other people so Ace doesn't actually have to cast a vote for Sugar, so he can like not backstab her there. And Crystal and Ken want to blindside Ace. So right now it's looking like either Ace or Sugar. But we haven't even gotten to the immunity challenge to find out if this tribe's strategy is going to be important or not. Exile Island, we see the Sugar Shack just a little bit. And it's just mostly Sugar hoping that like the rest of the tribe isn't going to like screw her over, which they gave some stat later on in the season of how many days she spent actually there. And it was like a ridiculous amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, like,
because if this is our fifth time, most of these times have been for like two nights, I think.
Two nights? I thought it was like 2 days, one night. But you're probably right, I guess.
I guess it depends. If like they do the reward challenge, it's like depends on where the gap day is.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, so this might be like somewhere around eight-ish days or nights, maybe, if it's like, if we split the difference.
Which is a long time.
Which for episode six, we're at like 18 days. So that's nearing half the time is just spent by herself on Exile Island in the Sugar Shack.
Yeah, we're on day, we started this episode on day 19 because.
Oh yeah, we go to 21. Yeah. We go to the immunity challenge where both tribes are going to go to tribal council. And so this is going to be individual immunity wins for each tribe where they have to stand on this rolling log against each other.
Not for each tribe. It is just one person winning individual immunity.
Oh, that's right.
At first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At
first I was like, oh, so just one tribe's going to go and no one's immune? That's wild. I guess it's not that wild. That's what normal tribal council is pre-merge. But yeah.
Yeah. This was a fun challenge. We've seen this before. This, I think I'm going to keep saying this is a fun challenge because I felt like there was lots of really fun challenges this season and it makes me miss them.
This season, which we'll see more of as we go, but this season had a lot more like, let's do sports challenges. Just like straight up sports.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah, so Marcus ends up winning this log, like standing on the log challenge. And the twist is he gets to give immunity to somebody from the other tribe as well. He gives it to Sugar. So Marcus has immunity going into their tribal council, and then Sugar has immunity going into her tribal council. We spend some time with Fong first, and we talked about them a little bit earlier. Maddie and Ace, although earlier there was talk of like Sugar going here. Maddie and Ace want Crystal gone, and then Kren and Crystal want to convince Sugar to vote out Ace. So Ken meets with Sugar to tell her that Ace has been working against her. And at this point, I noted it seems that he like did a pretty good job convincing her. Ace asks Sugar to borrow her immunity idol in case people double cross him. And she's like, I got to think about that.
That was kind of a wild thing that happened because Kenny did not know it was going to happen, but was like, come on, Ace is going to ask you for this. That shows he's trying to backstab you. And then Ace did ask for it, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
He was right. He predicted that well.
It worked out very well. We go to the Fong Tribal Council. They talk more about Crystal spilling that rice, and I just noted that I feel like that got blown up so much more than it needed to be, because it seemed like such a simple thing, and boy, it wasn't to that tribe, I guess, or to a few of them.
I agree with you. I also think that Crystal did not do herself any favors.
Yeah. I was happy to see Ace get voted out 3-2, though, because I did not really like Ace.
Yeah, God.
Like,
he's not the worst. There are worse people this season, and that's wild.
Yeah, I was surprised how they edited this episode, that we went straight to the Fawn Tribal Council. I expected us to do, like, Fawn Coda and then do both Tribal Councils back-to-back.
Yeah, I was super... I was like, this was a really short episode, and then I was like, oh, wait, it's a double Tribal Council. This is weird.
Yeah.
They're like, we're back in time. I feel like they don't do that. Ever?
They don't do that anymore, yeah. Or yeah, I think it's the first time we've seen it done in that way. And it felt weird, and I would imagine they don't do it again, because like I knew I was paying enough attention, obviously, so like I knew there was going to be another tribal, but like my roommate Katie walked in during this episode and she was like, okay, episode's over, like let's watch something else. And I was like, no, there's more, actually. And I could see people just like clicking away almost.
Yeah.
But we do get to spend a little bit more time with Coda. Dan asks Marcus if he's going. He just wants to be like told up front if he's going to be going. Marcus tells him that Susie's the vote. Then Corinne and Marcus and Charlie, they're feeling a little bit cautious about Bob, and they want to replace Bob with Randy as their like fourth in their alliance. And they also think that they can trust Susie more than Dan. And so they're like, maybe we should get rid of Dan. Because they're like worried about an impending merge, and when the merge happens, they don't want anybody who they think would vote with them to flip and switch to the other tribe. Corinne tells Susie that she's safe and that Dan is the vote. And then stupid Susie, or Susie stupidly says this, I should say. She tells Corinne, she's like, oh, okay, well, I was gonna vote for you. And it's like, Susie, what are you doing? Like, she just told you you're safe, and then you're like, well, I was actually gonna vote for you, which Corinne has a confessional and says, I want to stab her in the face.
We saw that in the preview for this episode, and I like assumed that Susie was joking, but no, she's not. She like goes multiple times, including at Tribal Council, talking about how like she doesn't like Corinne and how she wants to vote against Corinne.
Oh, it gets even worse at Tribal Council. Yeah, like we can just jump straight there. Like they talk about that, and then Jeff asks, it like comes up about like who's weakest, and Jeff asks Susie, and she's like, Corinne, she's not very good at challenges. And Corinne's like, what the hell? Like, I just told you we were not going to vote you out, and then you're just like throwing me under the bus. But it doesn't matter. Dan gets voted out 4-3. And so Susie sticks around. And we head into the next episode, episode 7, Apple in the Garden of Eden.
Real quick on that Tribal Council. Looking back, like, Dan got 4 votes, Susie got 3 votes. I think that that was a, like, major turning point in the season. I think things would have been a lot different if Corinne would have voted for Susie. Well, we can talk about it as we go. I just want to know,
yeah,
about, like, if Susie would have left episode 6, how different the season would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll mention that as we get to things later, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to think about that. Because they're very... Like, Susie is... We've talked about, like, the idea of a goat before in Survivor, like being dragged along, and that is like Susie, I feel like.
Well, okay. I thought that was true until I saw the finale.
Yeah. No, I still think that's true, even with the finale.
We'll get there in a couple episodes, Chris.
So we start the next episode off with the night after both tribals. So we gotta do follow-up of both of those. For Coda, Randy suggests doing like an Operation Clean Sweep where they all band together, and if there's a merge, they just vote everybody else out. They talk a little bit about Susie coming at Corinne during Tribal Council. Susie says she feels like she has power because they're going to need her to like not flip on them. We see a little bit of Maddie. He's just worried he might be the next target. Others are trying to console him a little bit. They say that they're hoping to stay 4 strong. And then they get tree mail, and they all meet up at a beach with a huge feast. And there's a box that says don't open it until they're done eating. While they're eating, Ken and Maddie spot this note hidden under a bowl and are trying to be secretive about it. And then Charlie's like, hey, there's a note, everybody. Hey, everybody, we should all read this note. And Kenny's like, what the hell? Come on, man.
Is this the first time that we've seen like a note hidden in like... in a public place like this?
In the older seasons. I feel like it happened in... Didn't it happen in one of the modern day seasons?
I think so. I'm having a hard time remembering. It happens a lot in Australian Survivor, and I watched a season of that. And so I'm like, all the examples of it happening for me come from that. But
I think it happened in like 43 or 44, but I can't remember exactly with who. Yeah.
I like it a lot. Like this one, you know, turned out poorly, but I like the idea of, like, I see it, I have to be sneaky and try to grab it before anyone else sees it. That is very fun to me.
I like the idea of there's no break from the game aspect of it. Of, like, it's a merge feast where it's like, hey, we should be able to relax and just chill. Like, don't worry about things. And it's like, no, there's, like, you always got to have your eyes peeled for stuff. And this one doesn't matter, so to speak, right now, but we're going to see in the future, this does matter.
Yeah, and it matters for like game, like social game.
Mm-hmm. So they
like Charlie is like, hey, everybody, there's a note, and so they get everybody to read it all together. Ken tries to like stop that from happening, and Charlie's like, nah, like we all saw it, everybody should get to see it. And it is like, hey, there's an immunity idol hidden nearby, and Randy and Marcus are like, what if we just like all decide not to find it, or we find it together and throw it in the ocean together?
Mm-hmm.
Which is wild.
Yeah. Randy's like, I know exactly where it is based off the clue from it. And he goes and digs it up in like 2 seconds. He was right. He did know where it was. and they sit it in the table. Bob refers to it as it's the apple in the Garden of Eden.
That's the name of the episode.
And then, yeah, they tie it to a bottle and launch it into the ocean.
Or do they?
Or do they? They do.
They do. Yes, they do.
And then we find out that the box that they weren't supposed to eat till after they were done eating is full of stones from a bag, and they're going to divide into two more tribes. It's not a merge feast, y'all. They're not merged yet.
I thought this was fun.
Mm-hmm. So there's two new tribes split up, evened it out, 5 and 5. But both tribes are set up to be, before it was like 6 people from Coda and 4 people from Fong. And how the new tribes shake out, it's 3 from Coda, 2 from Fong for each of them. So Coda still has the advantage with both tribes if people stick to their numbers.
Yeah.
We learn on Coda, as they're talking, that Crystal is cousins of one of Marcus's best friends. So they have got some like back home connections, which is wild.
I don't think that that would happen in modern day Survivor.
But they would like vet them more to make sure that doesn't happen.
Specifically, like, they would have mutual followers and shit. Like, they would, that would come up on social media, on a social media check that CBS would do, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I wonder if, like, what type of connection warrants them being like, ah, we can't put them on the same season. Like, because this was a somewhat, like, a small connection. Like, they never met each other before.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like it could impact gameplay. And
yeah.
I guess maybe almost did, but not really.
Yeah, yeah. They talk about that. Like, they make that like it's going to be something where Marcus is like, oh, like Crystal's on the other tribe, but maybe because of this connection, I should ally with her. Crystal says that she won't vote for him. And on. Says to him that she won't vote for him. Marcus is like, maybe I should swap out Susie in our alliance with Crystal. Or actually, I don't know if he says that. That was just my guess. That's what I like was guessing he was thinking. And then on Fong, Corinne talks to Charlie about voting out Maddie. Maddie talks to Sugar about potentially using her idol and watching out for each other. Randy suggests maybe losing on purpose so that way they can get rid of Maddie and also help avoid a possible Susie flip. So like making sure his tribe goes to tribal council and the other one doesn't, because if that happens, maybe Susie will flip and it will mess up their numbers, which that I'm normally very against losing on purpose, but that's some good logic for why you would want to lose on purpose, I thought.
Yeah, that's fair. I was like, this is maybe the best opportunity for you to like throw a challenge and like, yes, the three of you would vote Maddie out and that would be a great move. Mm-hmm. When we get to the challenge, though, I was like, oh, they can't throw it.
Yeah, it's impossible. Yeah.
This is an impossible one to throw, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So the immunity challenge, they get there. There's a funny thing at the beginning of this, which they kind of adhere to for like I guess it's only one more episode. They do. Corinne tells Jeff, it's like, it's not Fallen anymore. It's Fang now. To like be like, we're a new tribe. It's Fang, not Fallen. And Jeff does call them Fang later. Like he gets corrected once, but then he does refer to it as Fang, which I thought was kind of a fun idea. But yeah, they do this challenge that looked to me painful and awful.
Oh yeah, this challenge was terrible.
They have to hold up they have to wedge it between the backs of their hands and a board above them. And just like the idea of like pushing up with the backs of your hands instead of the palms of your hands just seems so uncomfortable. The last person standing wins immunity for their tribe.
Yeah.
And
so the reason I said it was unthrowable is like Randy, Corinne, and Charlie do fall kind of early, but they can't do anything to force Maddie and Sugar to fall.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like it's a team challenge, but it's individual performances. And so they can't do anything about that. And Maddie ends up winning for Fang. And so Fang has immunity, which means we spend the rest of the episode with Coda. I should note that second place in that was Bob. I'm just noting that because he is a challenge beast this season, which I would not expect from the oldest contestant that's left on the show right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so with Coda, Marcus wants Ken gone instead of Crystal. He's partially like worried about his gameplay, I think. He also talks to Crystal about joining their alliance instead of Susie and the Crystal connection with like her being cousins with one of his friends. So Marcus tells Susie that Ken is going to be the vote, and she seems to trust him there. Crystal tells Kenny that they're gunning for him, and so she goes to talk to Susie and convince her she can't trust Marcus and that Susie will be gone at the merge. And that's what ends up, like, the path that the votes end up going down, where Crystal, Ken, and Susie vote Marcus out 3-2, and he becomes the first jury member.
Yeah, which is, like, Susie flipped, which is exactly what Randy was scared of.
Mm-hmm.
And so Marcus is gone, which is a big deal. This is, like, maybe the first thing that I'm saying, like, if Susie would have been voted out instead of Dan, I don't think Dan would have flipped.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And so it would have been, I guess, Ken gone, which is what Marcus wanted, or...
Yeah, probably.
Probably Chris. Oh, yeah, because of the... Yeah, probably Ken. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That would make a big difference there. So we're going to head into the last episode we're going to talk about in
Before
this
that,
week's episode.
I just want to do a little segment to break things up a little bit. Something we haven't done in a while. Chris, these episodes released in November of 2008. What movies were popular in 2008?
November 2008.
I have the top four movies. Two of them are animated. Does that help?
Is one... Are these the like top four that came out then, or top four at the box office then?
Top four at the box office, November 2008.
Ugh.
Two of them are sequels.
The Dark Knight?
No, that was in like July.
Gosh. Okay. Animated? There's two animated ones? Toy Story 3.
No.
With,
I want to say Chris Rock does a voice?
Madagascar.
Say more.
Two.
Ooh.
Escape to Africa.
Yes. Escape to Africa.
That's what I said. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That is the top movie at the box office, November 2008.
Yeah, those movies made a lot of money.
Beating another sequel as number two.
Is it an animated sequel or a live action?
Not an animated sequel.
Can you give me an actor?
I think that this hint will help you more than an actor. It is, in some senses, like the second in a series, but in other senses, like the 15th. Maybe that won't help you more, but it's a more fun hint.
It would have been earlier. I was going to say Halloween 2, but that's earlier. So it's probably not that.
No, but you're right in the sense of, like, it's a long-running franchise, but it's like the second of this run of the franchise.
How accurate is your 15th number?
Oh, probably wrong.
Well, no, wait. Okay, that's earlier. That's before Disney bought Star Wars, so it's not Star Wars stuff.
I can tell you what the actual order number should be. It's actually 23rd.
I don't know any movie series with that many movies in it.
Oh, yeah, you do. Sequel might be, I don't know if they're necessarily meant to be sequential.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I can only name one actor in this movie, so I need to look it up to get others. Jeffrey Wright.
Okay.
David Harbour. Judi Dench.
Oh. Wait, you said 23rd?
Yeah.
You sure? Ooh, it's 23? I think it's more than that. Is this Quantum of Solace?
It is Quantum of Solace.
I think they're up to like 25 or 6.
Well, they are now.
Oh, gotcha. At the time. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Yes. The Judi Dench is, I think, what got me there.
Yeah. That's why I listed the others first, because I was like, she's going to be the one that gets you.
Mm-hmm.
But I could only name Daniel Craig off the top of my head. And I was like, that's too obvious.
Yeah.
I
have seen almost that whole franchise. There's only two I've never seen.
Number three at the box office, I would have expected to be number one. YA, based on a YA book.
Catching Fire.
No. It's not a sequel anymore. Those were the two sequels.
Mm. Hunger Games.
No.
Divergent.
No.
Maze Runner.
No.
What other YA movies were there?
2008. I feel like you're in like 2012 era. Earlier than that.
I feel like YA didn't exist until Hunger Games, so I don't know.
He's not a wizard, but that doesn't mean it can't be fantastical. That
the was Hobbit. A hit.
No, he used to be a wizard, but he's not anymore because he died.
Yeah, I don't know what dead wizards there are. Gandalf? Oh,
in like a different franchise, he died as a wizard, and now he's starring in this new franchise.
X-Men?
She was trapped in a house with burglars.
Yeah.
With her mom. And now she's in this.
Oh, okay. Oh, Twilight.
Yes.
Whew. So Kristen Stewart in Panic Room, trapped in a house with her mom, Jodie Foster. I should rewatch that movie. That's like a David Fincher movie that I don't.
And Robert Pattinson, the Dead Wizard, for the record.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
The fourth movie, I don't think you would ever get. I mean, maybe you would. You're better at movie trivia than I am. But Really Fast Hamster, I think?
Start with an H?
No.
With a GG force.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. This is about a really fast dog, I think.
Bolt?
Yes.
Oh, that's animated. Oh, yeah, there was supposed to be another animated. Okay. That's John Travolta, yep. Right? As Bolt?
Sure. Whatever you say. Yes, you're right. Sandy? And Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, anyway, that's movies from November 2008. I maybe need a name for this sort of segment.
Yeah, movies from 2008 is going to be tough. We're going to run out of 2008 movies, so you can't call it that.
Yeah, so I have a different category for a future episode. So I'm just going to call it Blast from the Past.
Okay, I'm with that. I like these a lot. I don't do well with it, but I like it.
Well, listeners, let us know if you like it, because that's what matters. I also like it, but I don't know if it's actually a good podcast or not.
Well, we're just going to assume the listeners love it, unless they contact it.
Fair, fair.
So let's go into The Brains Behind Everything, episode 8. On Coda, Kenny is feeling like he's in control now since they were able to like flip the numbers. And he says next vote's going to be Bob, which Bob also realizes, like, obviously he's going to be the next one to go. At Tree Mail, they get a slingshot sort of thing. Like, I always think of them as like water balloon launchers.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we go to the reward challenge, where it opens with the GIF that we talked about at the beginning of the season, where it has Corinne and Sugar like react like by covering their mouths and like kind of looking sad or just like they're gonna cry almost. And then Marcus has like this big smile.
Maddie.
Yeah. I thought they were reacting to family members coming out and that it was like covering their mouth, like about to cry, like of joy. And then Maddie just like smiling real big from joy.
Oh,
that's what my prediction for what it was.
Episode that you were pretty sure you knew what this was a reaction to. And I was like, how did you predict that there was going to be another tribe swap and that like someone was going to get flipped on and that Marcus was going to get voted out? Like, that's wild.
Yeah, no, I was wrong. I just thought it was going to be some loved ones showing up. But yeah, I was very excited that happened. And I was like, wait, I know this. I know this. I've seen this before.
I had the exact same reaction. I was like, oh, I've seen that smile.
Yeah. Where we get a little bit of talking before the challenge because Jeff noticed the reactions and he's like, what's up with that? Corinne says that Marcus didn't deserve to leave. And Kenny's like, why not? It's a game. Who does deserve to leave? And she doesn't have a very good response to that, which is fair. Like, there, what we see like in the next few episodes is a lot. I feel like there's definitely Kenny starts to get very cocky, but there's also of like, because the numbers have gone against what like Corinne had thought, how she thought this was going to play out. And I don't think it's just Corinne, but that's the one that is standing out to me right now, is just like lots of annoyance and anger from her. Whereas if it had gone differently, like obviously that would change, but she's like, this isn't fair. This isn't how this was supposed to go. And it's like, well, that's just because you're upset because you lost your person.
Yeah. I wonder if she ever, we never see this, but if she ever realizes, like, if I would have voted for Susie like I wanted to, Marcus would still be here. This would have been different.
I feel like that does. I feel like there is like one confessional where that is, she does say something like that. I don't have it noted down, but I feel like I have that in my mind.
Yeah. Like it is it's kind of all Kern's fault. I mean, not really. That's oversimplifying it. But, like, she debated voting for Sizzy instead of Dan. And if she would have, Marcus would still be here, I think.
Mm-hmm. So we go to the challenge, which is this, like, slingshot golf. This is super fun. They should bring this back.
This looks very fun. But it's also, like, sports.
Yeah, but it's, like, it's a sports that's, like, not super physical or, like, strength-based.
Oh, yeah, no, I like it. I'm not, like, opposed to them being mm-hmm. sports.
They could, like, do it with three tribes.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not definitely. Tribe versus tribe, so they could make it work with their current setup of three tribes that they do in Modern Day Survivor. Bring back more fun challenges. Every challenge is, like, obstacle course puzzle. Like, I want variety, Jeff Probst. I know you listen.
I also think, in their defense, this is, like, a very large area to use to, like, make multiple, like, golf holes like this
mm-hmm.
that maybe they don't have the freedom to do. And
they could pull it off.
I mean, you're probably right. Even if it was, like, you're doing this on these, like, you know, things that we have constructed for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so this was super fun to see. Their reward for the team that wins is a trip to a Gabonese village for a meal and a night there, and get to send somebody to Exile Island. Kodo wins the first hole, and Fang wins the second hole, and so it comes down to the third hole for who will have the better score, and Fang wins. There's some major
argument.
Yeah, there's some major bickering between Maddie and Randy because their final shot, they're, like, right on the hole. And Randy's like, listen, we can basically, like, drop it in. And Maddie's like, I got it. Like, you don't need to tell me or show me what to do. I got it. And Randy gets very annoyed. And this carries over for a bit because Maddie didn't do it, like, exactly how he wanted him to.
I wanted to see more of what, like, Jeff explaining the rules for this. Because it was, like, Maddie could literally have just dropped it in. But it seemed like he felt like he needed to, like, sling it a little bit. So
it seemed like it has to, yeah. Like, I think it can't be, like, he can physically drop it. It probably has to come out of the pouch, but yeah.
Like he could have, like, held the pouch over the hole and dropped it in.
Right.
It didn't seem like he was allowed to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, but they end up getting the win, and they choose to send Bob to Exile Island. They show us a little bit with Coda in between. Kenny, because Bob's not around, Kenny's doing, like, the catching of the fish and stuff, and he brings some fish back. He's feeling kind of like hot shit around camp. On Fane, they go to the Gabonese village. They finally get to wash and put on some, like, new clothing and stuff, which this season in particular, they have looked very dirty. I think they're swimming a lot less because they're not on an ocean, and so they're just covered in dirt, like their clothing.
Yeah.
Bob started off the season with this, like, yellow button-up dress shirt, and it is gross looking. And then back at camp, the tree male talks about making fire. We get a little bit of time at Exile Island. Bob chooses to get the clue with the idol. He finds where the idol was supposed to be, decides to make a fake idol. He very cleverly uses resin he gets from a tree, a rock, makes it look like a skull, and puts some beads and stuff on it with the resin, and makes a pretty good looking fake. Like, compared to Ozzy's stick. Yeah. Compared to Ozzy's stick, this was great, which, yeah, this was very good.
This was, like, better than the real idol. Like, the art department should hire Bob.
Yeah. Then we go to the immunity challenge, where we find out it is a merge now, where it is going to be an individual challenge. They are merged. They all have individual fire-making stations.
I pretty solidly believe that, like, everything is planned from the beginning and they don't make changes midway through. But, man, it really feels like they meant for the merge to be last episode and they decided to extend it a little bit. I think that they decided to do, like, the fake merge with, like, the random tribe swap that they did last episode after they had planned the challenges. Because, like, that challenge last episode was essentially, it could have been an individual immunity challenge easily, but it was just,
how would they have launched the, you mean, or I was thinking the reward challenge. You're saying the individual last episode?
The individual last episode where,
oh, like, yeah,
grandstanding wins for their tribe, but it, like, right, that easily could have just been an individual immunity. And then, yes, the golf is a little bit weirder, but I think the golf could have been just, like, draw still rocks teams. For teams.
Yeah. I like the idea of making them think they're merging and then being like, twist, not, you got to go back for one more day or like one more cycle.
Oh, I agree. I like it. I just was like, the fact that it was so quickly like, no, actually you are merged. Like they did that swap for one cycle. I was like, it feels like that was not always the plan.
So with this one, the fire making, Susie is the first one to get a flame going, and then Sugar gets one, and literally nobody else. And Susie ends up getting her fire big enough to burn through the rope and raise the flag, and so she wins here. They return to the old Fang camp. Charlie asks Randy, have you heard anything about anything? Randy says they should vote out Crystal. Charlie thinks that there's a solid 4-4 split of alliances with Sugar as the swing vote. And Sugar wants Randy gone. That's like a lot of the kind of strategy talk that happens. Maddie. All of
this drove me because both of these 4 and 4 heard, like, wanted Sugar's vote. And Sugar was like, here's the deal. I just want Randy gone. I just don't want Randy anymore. But neither side was just like, cool, okay, you know what, we'll vote for Randy, vote with us, we'll vote for Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them were like, we do what we want to do and then Randy next time, we got this. They should have just been like, cool, let's vote Randy.
Yeah, well,
obviously I don't side with Randy, but the other, like, the
they were being too headstrong and like wanting their own people gone.
Yes, but like it would have been so easy to just be like, cool, we'll vote out Randy, we'll do Charlie next time. Like, you want Randy, be on our side, we'll vote Randy.
Especially because Randy sucks.
Yes, exactly. I was like, why?
Like, why get this racist asshole out of here. Like, we don't need to keep him around. Just be like, you know what? You're right. Let's get him gone. And then we'll worry about other people.
Yes. Which, like, Ken is so bitter about Charlie seeing that he also saw the idol clue at the merge feast. But I'm like, just vote for Randy. It was buck wild to me. I was like so angry watching this episode.
Then that Kenny does two weirdly maybe dumb things. One is the like being dead set on getting rid of Charlie, but he does like pull off getting him voted out. The other is their new tribe name. He's like, what's Gabon backwards? No bag. Let's call our new tribe No Bag. I thought that was the dumbest name.
It is. It's a dumb reason and a dumb name. It is like all bad.
Mm-hmm. I just can't wait for one of like the season 30s we get to, and at the merge they Idjif.
I like Idjif more than I like No Bag.
So we go to tribal council. Crystal asks Randy why he doesn't like her, and he throws out a whole bunch of like racist microaggression sort of comments. He says that her and GC, he calls it her posse, made his first 8 days hell. They ran tribe like a gang, and just like all these little things that it's like, okay, we definitely understand exactly why you don't like her.
Yeah, he at one point is like, I just don't like Crystal. And I out loud with Kayla and our mom watching this, I was like, I wonder what's different about Crystal, Randy. Mm-hmm. Weird that you don't like Crystal.
Ugh. There's a shot. This is like maybe not the first, I'm just remembering it now, of Sugar crying before she votes. And this is like, we had lots of emotional Sugar in the back half of the season, which I have no problem against. We're going to hear like Corinne's thoughts on it in several episodes. But she's like unsure about like who to vote for, who to backstab, that sort of thing. And somebody voted for Cece, and Jeff says, who's Cece? Who voted for Cece? And so Randy's like, that was me. And Jeff's like, if you're going to vote for him, put their name down. Which we have seen people vote like by nickname before, but apparently this one was like not clear enough. I don't know if it's because of Charlie. I don't know.
Other people with the initial, with at least the first initial C.
Right.
So I think that Jeff was like, I just need it to be clear that it's not Corinne, for example.
One thing I tried to watch for it, but I didn't notice it, and I feel like we heard something about this. So many votes this season come with extra things like a smiley face or a sad face or like little symbols, and I was trying to watch for it if there was like some sort of like code behind it, or it was like a signature or something, but It was nothing that I noticed, but I was wondering if there is a some sort of system there.
Oh, that's interesting. I saw that, but didn't think anything of it.
So Charlie gets voted out 5-4. And then with the credits, this episode said, episode in memory of Marge Bosch. I don't know if you noticed that or looked that up at all. Marge Bosch. Yeah. She's the wife of Rudy from season 1 and 8, who had passed away.
And I think that she was on a couple episodes as like a loved one.
Oh, that would make sense. Because he made it. It'd probably be from episode 1, because I don't, or season 1. I don't think he made it far enough in 8.
I don't think they brought loved ones to.
Oh, you're right. They did videos. So maybe she was in a video, because they did videos because Jenna's video just didn't make it in time. And they were like, well, sucks for you. Was that Jenna?
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is the last episode we are talking about this week. I am liking this.
Another fun fact from that.
Yeah.
So Marge died November 1st, 2008. Rudy, it has also passed away, died November 1st, 2019. Exactly 11 years.
11 years later. Wow. Who is it? Ben Franklin and like Thomas Jefferson or something. Didn't they die on the same day? But not 11 years apart. It was just like the same day. Thomas
Jefferson and John Adams.
John Adams. I'm liking the season a lot.
Yeah, I like the season a lot. I think that it is like
entertaining.
Yes, it is like funny and entertaining. Not like the greatest of strategy, though it's some interesting strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And not the most likable of people, although I do like some of them.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I feel like it's not gonna be like in the top of my ranking, but I feel like it's upper mid.
Well, we'll talk about that in a while. Do you have a luxury item this week?
Yes. So this is probably old news when this episode comes out, but as we're recording it, America's in Barbie fever, and man, Kayla and I went and saw the Barbie movie.
What's the cure?
More Barbie, or more Kenergy. Either one. It's great. It's so good. I'm not going to say too much about it because Chris hasn't seen it yet at the time of recording. But, man, it is. I expected it to be good, and it is better than I expected. Mostly in the, like, it is, like, weirder and a little more adult and, like, funnier than I expected.
Good.
This is very good. Yeah. Highly recommend.
I'm excited. I think I'm going to see it tomorrow. I will recommend.
Oh, also, a lot of people are like attacking Barbie movie and saying that like it's anti-men or something like that, and they just didn't watch the fucking movie. And so like they are the villains of the movie, literally. It's so frustrating to read commentary about Barbie. Go watch Barbie. It's great.
And you know, especially what?
If you're a man.
Even if it was anti-men, who gives a shit? Men are evil. Like, we're trash. Like, we can be the villains.
Yeah. Yes. Agreed. As you see in the Barbie movie.
Yeah. Like, it's okay. Put out a lot of media that's anti-men. That's fine. Most media is probably anti-women or doesn't have them in it. So, like, whatever. I'm going to recommend Bluey.
Ooh.
I was just on... At the time of recording, like a week or two ago, I was on family vacation with lots of my nieces and nephews, some of which who were pretty young. And so we watched a fair amount of Bluey. And that show's great.
I love me some Bluey.
It's really good. I almost thought about watching it just by myself, but I didn't. Doesn't mean it won't happen. I just didn't yet.
It's only 6-minute episodes. Like, it's,
I know.
It's so easy to watch.
It's really good. It teaches kids really good lessons. It talks about important things that wasn't talked about in that weren't talked about in like kid shows when we were kids. When we were kids, they were all just like trying to be super weird, and now they're like talking kids through like using their emotions and stuff. It was great.
Yeah, I love Bluey. There's a if you are looking to get into Bluey, one of my favorite episodes that I think highlights a lot of the Bluey's strengths is called Shadowlands in season 1, in which they are the kids are playing a game where they have to like run through the park, but they can only step on where the shadow is. Mm-hmm. And everything that the sun is touching is filled with alligators, and one of their friends wants to bend the rules all the time, and Bluey is like, no, we have to follow the rules. And eventually they learn that like the rules are what makes it fun, and like cheating makes it not fun, and like that's why we follow rules. And it is very much like, here's a lesson, but not in like a wildly obvious kind of way, and in like in a very funny kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it like hits their strengths very, very well. Also, oh man, Kayla and I quote Bluey to each other consistently, often. It's great. We quote the episode Grannies very frequently.
I saw that episode. That was a very good episode.
I slipped on my beans.
I think we watched that maybe after you had left vacation, but it's so good. Cranky Granny.
If I
or Grumpy? Oh,
no, was it? That's a different Granny episode.
Oh,
you're thinking of Granny Mobile. I know too much about Bluey.
Oh yeah, the one with like the Granny Mobile for sure. That's the one I've seen. Oh, I didn't know there was other. I figured that was the first time they acted like grannies. They did so good at it.
Yeah, no, that's a recurring bit. I can quote the episode Grannies to Kayla, and she will cry laughing without watching the show.
All right, listeners, check it out. Check out Barbie. Check out Bluey. Check out Have a Good Blue Bee Weekend. If you have suggestions for us, email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com. Don't tweet at us because I finally deleted Twitter. Didn't actually like delete my account, but they changed the logo to the X logo, which Elon Musk just changed it to referring to it as X instead of Twitter. And I was like, all right, I'm out of here.
Good for you. I made that decision a while ago and have not missed it once. So,
yeah. All right. Well, we will see you next week where we're going to talk about 9, 10, and 11. For this week at Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oh, yo, AI.